Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, December 20, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, for the greatest miracle that this world will ever know, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas. We thank you, sir, that out of your virtue love, you loved the world so much that you gave your uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the start of verse 1 with the corrected translation. For we know that if our earthly house, that's our human body, which is a tent, is taken down, physical death, we keep on having a building from God, a resurrection body, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. Verse 2. For indeed in this tent, our human body, we groan and keep on longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, our resurrection body. Verse 3. Inasmuch as we, having put on the resurrection body at the rapture, the resurrection, we absolutely will not be found naked. Verse 4. Certainly, indeed, while we are in this tent, our human body, we groan, suffering, adversity, testing, being burdened, oppression, because we absolutely do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed with a resurrection body, for the purpose that mortality may be swallowed up by life, immortality. The Apostle Paul defines here, gives a biblical definition of physical death. This biblical definition of physical death for the believer is mortality swallowed up by life. Mortality swallowed up by life. Physical death for the church age believer is simply the soul and the Spirit, departing from a very temporary human body to immortality, to life. And there are two categories of church-age believer with regard to physical death. First of all, those who die before the rapture. And then secondly, the rapture generation that will not go through physical death. Those who die before the rapture go from mortality to an interim body until the rapture, when they will be clothed with their resurrection body. The rapture generation goes directly from living in their tent, their human body, to living in their resurrection body. So based on 2 Corinthians 5 verse 4, when a believer dies, we should say he lives today. He did not die. His soul and human spirit departed and are swallowed up by life. Now in verse 5, we have the guarantee, a guarantee given to us by God, a guarantee of our resurrection body and eternal home in heaven. Now he that hath wrought us for the very same thing is God. That's the thundering diction of the King James. The postpositive conjunction de is a transitional use of de, and it may be translated and, or moreover, or then, or now. We will translate it now. Then we have the articular aorist middle participle of katergazomai. Now, katergazomai is a compound word made up of the preposition kata, which means according to a norm and standard, plus ergazomai, which means to accomplish, to carry out, to produce. So literally, it means to accomplish according to a norm and standard, to carry out according to a norm and standard, to produce according to a norm and standard. Katergazomai means to achieve, to accomplish, to bring about, to produce, to prepare. And in our verse, it means to prepare someone for something. The grace plan of God is preparing the royal family of God for eternity. And that is beautifully taught in Romans 8, verses 29 and 30, which says, "For those that God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those he predestined, he also elected to privilege. And those he elected to privilege, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." So the grace plan of God is preparing each one of us for eternity. The grace plan of God is preparing the church age believer for eternity through sanctification. Phase one sanctification, positional sanctification, at the moment of salvation, the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth. God the Holy Spirit takes us, identifies us with Jesus Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and his resurrection, current positional truth, entering us into union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And then phase two, sanctification. Experiential sanctification. The universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit. The power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age, advance to spiritual maturity, and have Christ formed in us. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. And then phase three, sanctification, ultimate sanctification, receiving our eternal home, our resurrection body. The indwelling of God the Holy Spirit of salvation is the guarantee of our resurrection body. The guarantee that we have an eternal home in heaven. The aorist tense is the constative aorist, viewing the grace preparation for the royal family from salvation to ultimate sanctification, our resurrection body, eternal home in heaven, in its entirety. The middle voice is a deponent middle. That means middle in form, but active in meaning. And the articular participle, very important, it's a substantival participle. It functions as a noun, and therefore, it should be correctly translated, now the one who prepared us, or now he who prepared us. And then the accusative plural of the personal pronoun, ego, us, well, that's the royal family of God, church age saints. And then the preposition ace plus the accusative denotes purpose. Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 228, says that when you have the preposition ace followed by the accusative of autos and houtos, which is what we have, ace, auta, tuta, it is an idiom. And this idiom is correctly translated for this very purpose. For this very purpose. And then we have the nominative singular of theos. And the nominative case here is the predicate nominative. Theos is the word God. God here is God the Father. The predicate nominative. And you, that's what you learned in English in school. You learned that was the emphatic use. Because the whole predicate, the whole purpose of the sentence is to predicate this. So this is the predicate nominative, the emphatic use of the nominative. And what that does, the predicate nominative puts the spotlight. The spotlight is placed on God the Father as the one who prepared us for this very purpose. That is ultimate sanctification. That is glorification in our resurrection body. You see, the more you learn Bible doctrine, the more you metabolize Bible doctrine like this, you advance to maturity, you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. That's why we're here. That's the ultimate objective of why we are here in the church age. And as you learn doctrines like this, you develop, first of all, personal love for God the Father. You see, when you learn about this study in 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 8, the spotlight is placed on God the Father as the one who prepared us for this very purpose. You develop, the more you learn about the Father and His plan, why then you develop personal love for the Father. And that is the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind and occupation with Jesus Christ. Now the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, God the Father. And then we have who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. This is the articular aorist active participle of the verb didomi, plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the accusative singular of arabone with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of pneuma with the definite article. Didomi. D-I-D, long O-M-I, didomi. Didomi is the Greek word that means to give, to give something to someone. God the Father has given to the royal family of God the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. This is a part of his unique plan for the church age, the protocol plan of God. God the Father has given to us, royal family of God, the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Never occurred before in human history. Never occurred before the church age. And will never occur after the church age. This is unique to the dispensation we live in. God the Father has given to the royal family of God in the church age the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And this is a down payment, a guarantee. The indwelling of the Spirit is a guarantee. What? One, a guarantee that we are royal family of God in union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. A guarantee that we are royal family of God in union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. Secondly, a guarantee of divine power to live the unique spiritual life, advance to spiritual maturity, and have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. So secondly, a guarantee of divine power. Divine power, the indwelling of the Spirit is the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. You can live the unique spiritual life, advance to maturity, and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Third, a guarantee of greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessing for time and greater grace blessing for eternity. That will glorify God forever and ever and ever. A guarantee of greater grace blessings for time and greater grace blessings for eternity for the believer who attains spiritual maturity. And fourth, a guarantee of a resurrection body, ultimate sanctification, a resurrection body, our eternal home, that our soul and spirit will live in forever. So a guarantee of a resurrection body, ultimate sanctification, our eternal home that our soul and spirit will live in forever in heaven. The aorist tense is the constative aorist, viewing the grace plan of God for the church age believer in its entirety. The active voice, God the Father performed the action of the verb. The articular participle, again, is substantival, and that means it functions as a noun and is correctly translated, the one who gave. The one, God the Father, who gave. And then the dative plural of the personal pronoun ego is to us. And the dative case is the dative of indirect object. And the indirect object expresses the ones in whose interest and benefit something is given. So here's the principle. Principle, God the Father gave to us, the royal family, the Holy Spirit as a down payment, a guarantee for our interest and for our benefit. God the Father gave to us, the royal family, the Holy Spirit as a down payment, a guarantee for our interest and our benefit. The genitive singular of pneuma with a definite article. I know you pronounce it pneuma, but that's a lot. No self-respecting Greek would ever say pneuma. He would say pneuma. He would say, if you say pneuma, you flunk. Pneuma, spirit, God the Holy Spirit. The genitive case is the objective genitive. It functions as the object of the substantival participle of didomi. And then we have a very special and unique word, arabon. A-R-R-A-B-long-O-N, arabon. Now, this word, Greek word, arabon, is a Semitic loan word. It comes from the Hebrew. It comes from the Hebrew, arabon. There's an ion, E-R-A-B-long-O-N. So the Greek arabon is a Semitic loan word. It comes from the Hebrew arabon, which means to give a pledge. The Hebrew word arabon means to give a pledge. Arabon is both a legal and a commercial technical term. So, one, arabon means first installment, deposit, down payment, pledge. So arabon means first installment, deposit, down payment, pledge. Two, it is a down payment that pays a part of the purchase price in advance. It is a down payment that pays a part of the purchase price in advance. Three, therefore, it secures a legal claim to the article in question. It secures a legal claim to the article in question. In other words, point four, it makes the contract valid. It makes the contract valid. Five, arabon is a payment which obligates the contracting party to make further payments. Arabon is a payment which obligates the contracting party to make further payments. Six, God the Holy Spirit has been given to us, the royal family, as a down payment Seven, God the Father has given us, the royal family, the universal indwelling of the Spirit is our guarantee. Our guarantee of what? Our guarantee of one, eternal salvation. Our guarantee of two, divine power to live the unique spiritual life. Guarantee number three, our guarantee of a resurrection body, eternal home in heaven. So God the Father has given us, the royal family, the universal indwelling of the Spirit, as our guarantee of eternal salvation, as our guarantee of divine power to live the unique spiritual life, which is a supernatural way of life and demands supernatural power for its execution, and a guarantee of a resurrection body, an eternal home in heaven. So the corrected translation sounds like this. Now the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, God the Father. The one who gave to us for our interest and benefit the Spirit, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, as a down payment, as a guarantee. One. In phase two, the believer in time, we are temporarily living in degenerating human bodies. I saw my barber today, and he asked me about five different times, "Are you feeling all right? Are you feeling all right?" Well, I thought I was feeling all right when I got there, but after he asked me five times, I'm thinking, I must be on my last leg here. And I said, "Well, I'll tell you, Skip, I'm living in a body that is degenerating." And he laughed. He says, "Yeah, I totally understand that. I'm living in one of those too." I said, "Yeah, it's degenerating." And I said, "My knees don't work that great, and my shoulders don't work that great. And all kinds of things, just falling apart. It's called getting old." And Randy and I, we accidentally had lunch with Randy and Dodie. We were going to go to Vintner Grill, with one of the restaurants we love to go to, and we wanted to get a gift card for people in the church. And we were going to go at dinner, and they said, "There's nothing open." Well, we went to lunch, and at lunch, the only thing that was open was right when they opened. Well, we never talked to Randy and Dodie about it or anything. We just got there. And Debbie, usually they confirm the fact that you have this reservation. We never got the confirmation, so she called them over on the way. She said, "I never got a confirmation about our lunch date." "Well, we figured you were going to sit with Randy and Dodie Frick, because they're going to be here, and you always sit with them." I go, "Well, yeah, we'll sit with Randy and Dodie Frick." So we got there before Randy and Dodie did, and that was the last table, by the way, that they had. Randy, it's one of those things. Deb and I didn't make this reservation. Randy and Dodie didn't make this reservation. God made this reservation. God made it. And you know, it was just absolutely perfect timing. Randy was with the spiritual hurdles he's going through, and he's going through, and I know that you all, as a congregation of believers, you're praying for, well, you pray for Don all the time, and you pray for Randy all the time. And it was absolutely just a grace blessing set up by God that we were together. And Randy was even telling funny jokes and laughing, and then he turned to me and he says, "You know what?" I said, "What's that, Randy?" He says,
getting old sucks. I said,
amen, brother. I know that. So point one, in phase two, we are temporarily living in degenerating human bodies. Two, we are living in common jars of clay. Why? So that the grace and power of God can be displayed in our life. That's why. We are living in common jars of clay so that the grace and power of God can be displayed in our life. And that's one of the things that our waiter, and we love this waiter, and he says, and we've told him what Randy's going through. And he says, you know, he says, when they come in here now, he says, it's amazing. He says, it's amazing. I know what he's going through, and I know a lot of people have gone through these things, and they crash. They're miserable. They're horrible. And he says, they come in and they just light up. They light up. They light up the place. You guys, same way. When you come in, you light up the place. What is that? An invisible God living inside of you. When you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, that invisible God has visible impact that not only people can see, but all the angels see. All the fallen angels see. All the elect angels see. That invisible God that has been made at home in your heart. Occupation with Jesus Christ. Personal love for the Father. And that personal love motivates impersonal love for all, and that's a light. That's a light. That is visible impact. And, well, it's one thing to be happy when you have great health and prosperity. But how about when you are sick, pain, suffering, adversity? How about then? The winner believer, has a light, visible impact, and those times, and that the world sees, that the unbeliever sees, that other believers see, that the angels see. You see, the angels are always bending their necks, watching us, watching the decisions we make. Watching good decisions we make, watching terrible decisions we make. But here we are living in common jars of clay so that the grace and power of God can be displayed in our life. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. We studied this. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 says, now we possess this treasure in earthen vessels for the purpose that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from the source of God and not from the source of us. We possess this treasure in earthen vessels for the purpose that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from the source of God and not from the source of us. Three, in the life of every member of the royal family of God, God has begun the transforming process that will one day culminate in possessing a resurrection body. in the life of every member of the royal family of God, God has begun the transforming process that will one day culminate in possessing a resurrection body. For the guarantee of that consummation is the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. The guarantee of that consummation is the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. Five, God the Holy Spirit not only enters us into union with Christ, making us royal family of God, but he is also the power to live the spiritual life, transforming us into the likeness of Christ. God the Holy Spirit not only enters us into union with Christ, making us royal family, but he is also the power to live the spiritual life, transforming us into the likeness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all, royal family of God, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the mirror of the Word of God, the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image, from glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you, just as from the Lord, who is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. So God the Holy Spirit not only enters us into union with Christ, making us royal family, but he is also the power to live the spiritual life, transforming us into the likeness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18. 6. God the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of the completion of God's gracious plan of salvation. God the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of the completion of God's gracious plan of salvation. Turn over to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 23. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit. The first fruits of the Spirit is the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. And then turn over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 30. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed. The sealing ministry of God the Holy Spirit is salvation, sealed for the day of redemption, ultimate sanctification, and your resurrection body. 7. As we live our life on earth, we can be absolutely confident that we have a home in heaven, and that one day we are going to be in that home, that resurrection body. As we live our life on earth, we can be absolutely confident that we have a home in heaven, and that one day we are going to be in that building, that home of the resurrection body. So verse 5 again, now the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, God the Father. The one who gave to us for our interest and benefit the Spirit, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, as a down payment, as a guarantee. So, one, what Paul has been teaching in this passage is the very purpose of the plan of God for us. What Paul has been teaching in this passage is the very purpose of the plan of God for us. Two, it was God's purpose to put us in a skenos, a temporary tent. Very, very temporary tent. A tent that decays and degenerates and falls apart. That was a part of God's purpose. It was God's purpose to put us in a temporary tent, a skenos, a tent that decays and degenerates and falls apart. Three, it is God's purpose to allow suffering in our life on earth. It is God's purpose to allow suffering in our life on earth in order to demonstrate the all-sufficiency of His grace and His power. It is God's purpose to allow suffering in our life on earth in order to demonstrate the all-sufficiency of His grace and His power. Second Corinthians 4, verse 7 through 9, we saw verse 7. Verse 7 says, now we possess this treasure in earthen vessels for the purpose that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from the source of God and not from the source of us. And then the Apostle Paul describes what he and Timothy and Titus and Silvanus, what they went through. We are afflicted in every way, but we absolutely are not crushed. We have great inner pressure in our soul, but we are not totally despairing. We are persecuted, but we absolutely are not abandoned, deserted, forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. And then again, Paul taught this in chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we will be there. What are you laughing at? Oh, ye of little faith. Now, I will say, nobody knows when the rapture is going to occur, but everything is in place. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, to keep me from becoming arrogant, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh. What was the thorn in his flesh? A messenger of Satan, a demon, a fallen angel, to torment me, to beat the crap out of the Apostle Paul. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. And the Lord said, no, no, no. But then he, the Lord, assured me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, that's people testing, being slandered and maligned and judged, in hardships, thought testing, in persecution, disaster testing, in difficulty, system testing. Because when I am weak, then I am strong. He is strong because he's operating by the grace and the power of God. 4. It was God's purpose to give every church age believer the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, so that we could live the unique spiritual life of the church age. It was God's purpose to give every church age believer the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, spiritual skill number one, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, spiritual skill number two, so that we could live the unique spiritual life of the church age. 5, it is God's purpose to transform us into the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18, Romans 12, 1 and 2. We've seen 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. Turn over to Romans 12. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, royal family, in view of God's mercy, grace, and action, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Stop being conformed any longer to the pattern of the cosmic system, but be transformed. Transformation. Be transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. The transformation takes place in your thinking. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, your thinking. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. You know, there are a lot of believers, they're believers, but there's no transformation in their thinking. There's no renewing of their thinking and mind. There's no consistent and faithful assembling with the local church is not their happy place. It's my happy place. For the positive believer with humility, this is the happy place. And you assemble with positive volition and humility. You assemble with a smile on your face. Well, you don't have to have a smile on your face. But you don't have to come in here and when everybody else laughs, you're the most miserable person in here. And you learn the word. You want to know what God has to say to you today. I'm not God. But God has his thinking and what he wants to say is in his word. And God has given a spiritual gift of pastor teacher to explain God's word to you so you can know it and believe it. And with that, a transformation of your thinking and your mind. So it's God's purpose to transform us into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. 6. God's purpose is also accomplished through the doctrine of sanctification. Phase 1, sanctification, positional sanctification, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into union with Christ. We are in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Phase 2, sanctification, experiential sanctification. God the Holy Spirit indwells every church-age believer to provide a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit so that we can live the unique spiritual life and have virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts. And phase 3, sanctification, ultimate sanctification. God the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a down payment, the guarantee that we will have a resurrection body just like the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will live with him forever in heaven. So God's purpose is also accomplished through the doctrine of sanctification. 7, this process of sanctification of the church age believer will culminate in possessing a resurrection body and perfect Christ-likeness. This process of sanctification of the church-age believer will culminate in possessing a resurrection body and perfect Christ-likeness. The guarantee of that consummation is the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. 8, the indwelling Holy Spirit is a guarantee of the completion of God's gracious gift of eternal salvation. The indwelling Holy Spirit is a guarantee of the completion of God's gracious gift of eternal salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:5 again says, now the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, God the Father. The one who gave to us for our interest and benefit the Spirit, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, as a down payment, as a guarantee. And then verse 6, therefore, we are always confident. This is the post-positive conjunction un plus the present active participle of the verb thareo plus the adverb pantote. The post-positive conjunction un looks like that, O-U-N, un. It's an inferential conjunction. It draws a conclusion based on the absolute truth of the scriptures, specifically 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 5. The inferential use of un may be translated in conclusion, consequently, then, so, or therefore. We will translate it therefore. And then the verb thareo. T-H-A-R-R-E-W-O, thareo. Now, thareo is used 6 times in the New Testament Scriptures. It is used 5 times by the Apostle Paul, and all 5 times are used by him in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, our verse. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 2. It is also used once by the author of Hebrews, in Hebrews 13, verse 6. So the verb thareo, one, thareo means to be confident or to have confidence. Confidence. To be confident. And the winner believer is confident. The winner believer has maximum confidence in God, maximum confidence in the Word of God. That's the winner believer. So thareo means to be confident, to have confidence. It means to be courageous, to have courage. It means to be bold, to have boldness. Two, it means total assurance in your thinking. Total confidence in your thinking as a result of knowing Bible doctrine. As a result of maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. It means total assurance, total confidence in your thinking as a result of knowing Bible doctrine. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. Three, as a result of growing up spiritually in the grace orientation, and the knowledge, doctrinal orientation, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you have an unshakable confidence in your soul. As a result of growing up spiritually in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you have an unshakable confidence in your soul. An unshakable confidence in God, an unshakable confidence in the Word of God. Yeah, I love this paragraph, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 8. Absolutely amazing. And we'll pick it up at this point next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. We thank you for the privilege of fellowshipping with you and your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.